name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please sit. From our first reading, 1 Samuel 17, verse 39, David says, I cannot walk with these, for I'm not used to them. In his early years, the young David, eventually to become the great and glorious king of Hebrew stories, the young David suffered indeed slings and arrows of outrageous disdain, disparagement, and disregard. You may remember from last week, it did not even enter his father's mind that the young David should be a candidate for Samuel's interviews. And in cutting condescension, Jesse says of his son, oh, he's only a youngster. He's looking after the sheep somewhere. And then David's eldest brother, Eliab, consigns the boy to carrying the lunch boxes and sheep keeping when David so much wanted to be involved in the battle. And we read verse 28, when Eliab, David's eldest brother, heard him speaking with the men about fighting, he burned with anger and he said, why have you come here? Why did you leave the sheep? That's where you belong. I know that you are conceited. And then King Saul, in response to David's valiant readiness to battle Goliath, he rejects the offer dismissively. And he says, you're not able to go and fight this Philistine. You're only a young man. You've never fought anything. And then the Philistine champion from Gath, Goliath, ridicules his opponent, verse 42. He looked David up and over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, am I a dog that you're coming at me with sticks? I hope you get the picture. That early on in David's life, he was ridiculed and dismissed. There was nothing going on that would help his self-image to be strong and brave and bold. David's early history was replete with examples of other people trying to put him in his place, or rather in the place that they had designated for him. Again and again, they tried to make the proverbial cap fit, or American usage, shoe fit. By the way, I discovered that that proverbial phrase may even go back to the great Anglican of the 16th century, Richard Hooker, who, talking dismissively of Anabaptists, said, well, if the cloak fits, let them wear it. David was belittled, dismissed, ridiculed, but he would have none of it. Perhaps the most eloquent example or dynamic of this is when Saul dressed David in his own armor. Now, many times in the past, I have led and preached at family-style worship. And there the thing is to find a visual aid that communicates readily. And this story is a godsend. I begin the story and I ask for a volunteer and the hands go up and one young lad comes up and I then place him in the largest, most cumbersome Wellington boots I possess. I then cover him with a heavy woolen clerical cloak. I then put on top of his head an encompassing fedora. And I then say to him, now, run and fight the enemy. At best, he stumbles, but they get the point very quickly. And they want to say with David, the text, I cannot walk with these. I'm not used to them. Now, for the first time ever, I have spent some time this week pondering on what was going through the mind of Saul when he made what, with hindsight, was the most preposterous suggestion. Could it be that Saul was thinking, well, it worked once. Like many a good Episcopalian, that's how we've always done it. Why wouldn't it work the same way now? As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Maybe that was on his mind. Or maybe, just a suggestion, there was just the slightest experience of, forgive the pronunciation, Schadenfreude. That naughty delight in the discomfort of other people. Maybe Saul getting near to that point in his life when he knew he would have to resign and retire was finding it very difficult to hand over to this young whippersnapper of a boy and was trying, forgive him, to make it difficult. The naughty hope that this boy would fail in the sight of all the Israelites. Or maybe Saul was just being sincere, though sincerely wrong, that this was the way to help David in an almost impossible situation. Or maybe it was all three of them, or maybe it was more. But whatever the cause, David learns early on in his life, his work, his ministry, in the words recently emblazoned by our First Lady, I really don't care what others say of me. As my first sponsor used to say, Alan, what other people think of you is none of your business. David got to the point where he didn't care if others demeaned him. No matter how vigorously and strenuously others tried to make him wear the cap, the shoe, the cloak, what mattered to him was what God said of him. And friends, I believe that this was a crucial lesson for David to learn as early in his life as possible, because as you and I know, David did turn out to be rather a naughty man later on in his life. He failed quite a few times. He relapsed often, but he always got up again because he had this message. This was the cap that fitted so closely. God loves me. God will forgive me. And God will enable me to start again. This horrible dynamic of making other people wear caps and shoes and cloaks that do not fit continues apace. St. Paul writes of it in today's epistle. He says, oh, they tried to demean me so often, but I knew I was authentic. They tried to pretend I was fully unknown, yet I knew I was known. They tried to pretend that I was dying, yet I knew I was alive, and on and on. This horrible dynamic of making other people wear caps and shoes and cloaks that do not fit continues apace. I believe it is with significance that St. Mark writes of the disciples taking Jesus on the boat, quote, just as he was. That's what you and I want. We want other people to take us on board just as we are, without them trying to fit their demands and their expectations upon us. So they take him on board just as he was. But very soon, they pester him, they bombard him. They're dissatisfied with just as he was. And they want now, they demand a miracle working, pay attention to me now, Rabbi. Of course, graciously, he responds. But there's a sting in the tail. Why are you such cowards? Don't you have any faith? This horrible dynamic of making other people wear cap and shoes and cloaks that do not fit continues apace. Today is the 41st anniversary of my ordination to parish ministry. I know you can't believe it. And you thought it was 50. There have often been times in a variety of parochial settings where an individual or a group has tried to make me wear the cap, the shoes, the cloak that fit them but do not fit me. No less an apocryphal moment was when a parishioner stood up in a contentious parish meeting and said to me with her finger pointing, "Remember, you are a paid servant." And I seem to remember that I responded just a little brusquely in my attempt to help her see a slightly different perspective on ordained ministry. It happens. And sadly, you and I may have to confess that sometimes we have been the agents trying to make other people fit. Friends, I fear that there is something integral to living that forces us often to confront voices that make us wear caps and shoes and cloaks that do not fit us, have never fitted us, and will never fit us. And what I want you to do is to remember, in season and out of season, at home or at work, in company or alone, I want you to remember this statement that fits each of you and me perfectly. And here it comes. You are my beloved daughter or son, says the Lord. Upon you, my favor rests. With you, I am well pleased. And if that does not fit any of you, please, please do something about it. Bill Wilson, God is the principle, we are the agents. God is the Father, we are the children. Most good ideas are simple, and this concept was the keystone of the triumphant arch through which we march to freedom. Wear this cap, these shoes, these cloaks. Be beloved, liberated daughters and sons of God, all through the work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.